Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, if you need to pick me up on a Monday night into a Tuesday morning, that ought to do it. And also trying to wrap your brain around what is a tale of theft and deception and betrayal. It's like something out of a podcast, one of those true crime podcasts. Honestly, this could end up being a movie of some sort, if it's true, or if it's not true, or if we never find out the truth, even better. One of those podcasts where they leave it open-ended. I know, I listen to too many podcasts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to know how believable you think Shohei Ohtani's account on Monday. Also on our Facebook page, plus photos, and OJ even put a reel up if you need a break from March Madness. It's all kind of madness. NFL meetings going on, of course, because the NFL can't stand it if you're paying attention to something else. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. If you missed it, Shohei Ohtani, through his new translator, said that Ipe Mitsuhara lied to him, stole the money from him, and that he, Shohei, didn't know anything about it until a team meeting in South Korea, and that he was really in the dark until that point. And from that point on, kind of all hell break loose.
When I was finally able to talk to my representatives, that's when my representatives found out that Ipe has been lying the whole time. And that's when I started contacting the Dodgers and my lawyers. And the Dodgers and the lawyers at that moment found out also as well that they have been lied to.
That is not the voice of Shohei Ohtani, but for radio purposes, we're letting you hear from his new translator. And now we welcome in our friend and LA correspondent from NBC LA, Michael Duarte, who is there in the room. And we'll get the scene set. But you tell me his new translator's name is Will.
Yes, I want to give him a shout out and credit. He's been with the organization 9 years in different roles and capacities. He originally started as the translator for Kenta Maeda back when Kenta Maeda came over from Japan and pitched for the Dodgers. Will Ireton is his name. He actually was in the World Baseball Classic with Team Philippines as like a equipment manager. So he's been with the Yankees and Rangers, but last 9 years with the Dodgers, up and through the ropes. When Kenta left, they kind of put him in other places of the organization for him to learn and work his way up. And I believe he's like head of performance now with them. So he was going to be in the dugout anyways. It just so happens he's now thrown into this role as a player in the scandal, now the new interpreter for Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, let everyone know his name as well as you keep playing the clips.
I wonder if he was nervous, a little anxious, getting put into this position. Not that they didn't have a couple of days to get ready, because clearly that's what they were doing the last couple of days. But, man, there's a lot of attention and pressure on him all of a sudden.
I love, Amy, how he was, like, writing down as Shohei was talking, as if he was taking notes. Like, he didn't have the statement probably in English right there in front of him to reference as well. But Will's a great guy. He's a team favorite. He's a media favorite, fan favorite over the years. If you just Googled him and looked him up on clips, there's clips of, you know, him in crazy outfits doing speeches during spring training. You know, he's squatting and doing deadlifts in spring training to impress the players. during celebrations when they've clinched playoff games and series. He'd be pushed in a laundry cart as they pour beer and champagne on him. So he is thrown into this. He did look very nervous. Obviously, he hasn't been full-time translating for quite some time, for many years now. So, yeah, I'm sure to be thrown into the middle of this scandal that has more twists and turns than it and more drama than an episode of Succession is definitely new to him.
Any idea if he will be Ohtani's translator moving forward?
I think for the immediate future, yes, I believe so. Like I said, he's done that role before. I don't know if that's going to be the long-term solution. Obviously, Ohtani's here for 10 years, so I doubt it's going to be Will Ireton for the next 10 years. But in the immediate future, I believe, yeah, that's the plan.
So, Mike, what was it like inside that room?
Well, first of all, it was at capacity. I arrived 2 minutes before it started, so I was in the very back. It was standing room only. There was not a whole lot of room to see or maneuver. And there was no cameras allowed in the room. There was just one camera there by Spectrum Sportsnet LA here, and everybody else like NBC and our other affiliates out there all had to pick it up from that Sportsnet LA live feed camera that was the only one in the room. So the no cameras actually made more space for people, but that was a absolute packed house with everybody kind of waiting and standing on bated breath to, as you mentioned earlier in the show, to see what Shohei Ohtani's physical reaction would be. Would he be nervous? Was he calm and collected? Would he be angry? Would he be sad? You know, it was a lot of trying to read between the lines because obviously he was reading a prepared pre-written statement and doing it in Japanese and then we're having to hear the translation of it. But to that point, you know, I'll tell you what I noticed when he walked in. He didn't make eye contact with any of the reporters that were in the room, no media people. He walked in with the owner of the Dodgers, Andrew Friedman, president of baseball operations, and he was followed by Dave Roberts, Joe Kelly, and Kike Hernandez, so teammates that were there to also listen but also show that they have his back and they support him. It seemed like when he did sit down and started to read, and then when Will would translate for him, he was kind of staring blankly at the room a little bit. Like I said, not really making eye contact with anybody. When he wanted to make it clear he did not bet on baseball and he was not betting with a bookie here, with a bookmaker, he really was emphatic, I thought, as far as his reaction. And as you mentioned, there were times where he did seem to be a little emotional at the betrayal or the loss of his longtime best friend and translator, Ipe Mizuhara.
How believable did he seem to you, Michael?
It's hard to tell because I don't speak Japanese, so I don't, you know, I'm sure there's a language barrier of some sorts with particular words and what they might mean in different cultures, and not hearing it in English, it was difficult for me to say. I can tell you, Amy, that this is exactly what I expected him to say. I believe that his team and his lawyers, this is now the story we're sticking to. This is the story we're going with. So in making him available to the media, I expected nothing less than him kind of continuing with what we had already seen and read from the statement by his team, his agent, Nez Bilello, the legal team they hired. They also hired a crisis communication spokesperson, which to me probably bungled this entire thing from the beginning. But there was a level of believability to it for sure. I'm trying to kind of go through it. I think that his version of events is certainly plausible. Is it the most likely? I don't personally think it's the most likely scenario, but it's not really what's true and what's likely and what we think and believe, Amy. It's what you can prove. And I don't think there's any way that people can necessarily prove otherwise as of right now. We'll see what happens with both the MLB investigation, the federal investigation into this bookmaker, Matthew Boyer, I believe is his name.
Right.
We'll see what happens with those investigations. Maybe some more information will come out, but I don't think they're going to be able to prove either way, whether it was Shohei who did loan the money and is not telling the truth now at this point, whether it was Shohei who is just a victim in this entire thing from a con man that is his interpreter, or if it was him the whole time placing the bets and he was the front man doing all this. I don't think there's going to be any way to prove any of that.
Mm. Michael Duarte of NBC LA was there in the room as Shohei Ohtani delivered his remarks on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It is a little bit infuriating, but beyond that, also just blows my mind that we may never know. We actually may never get the information to fill in the gaps until maybe, I don't know, 25 years down the road if somebody writes a tell-all book.
Yeah, I don't think we are ever going to know. I think once whatever legal circumstances come for Ipe Mizuhara, the interpreter in this case, I'm not sure at this point. Obviously, he's being investigated, but what crimes he may have committed, is he going to be arrested for these crimes? We don't know. But I'm sure once kind of the dust settles there, he will vanish. Whether he stays in Southern California, where he's been living since he was 7 years old, or goes back to Japan, where he actually lives in the off season, where he met his wife, and where he was living and working for the Nippon Ham Fighters when he met Shohei Ohtani in 2012 and 13. So I don't think we're ever going to know the full story or the truth here, Amy, unfortunately. And that's sad, because at the end of the day, sports gambling in this country is big business. It's become extremely popular. It's legal in 38 of 50 states, including, Washington, D.C. and other territories. I don't know. It's something that we talk about. We have entire television networks, radio nations, websites, all dedicated to sports gambling. So at the end of the day, what are we talking about? Somebody who was betting on sports and just really, really bad at it. And it's kind of unfortunately put a large dark shadow and cloud over the Dodgers home opener, the start of the MLB season, and Shohei Ohtani's, debut with the Dodgers and first season with them as well. It's just kind of put a cloud over all of it.
We hadn't yet played for our audience Dave Roberts' reaction to Ohtani's comments. So, Mike, here's what he had to say earlier on Monday evening.
Shohei was very honest in his take of kind of what happened. And so I know that for me, the organization, we support him. And I hope that, I got a lot of questions answered as far as, what he knew, what he didn't know. And I'm looking forward to kind of just moving forward and obviously, letting the authorities take care of it and just, focus on baseball. But, yeah, I was proud of him to, sit up here and kind of give his take on things.
Here's the thing, Michael. I appreciate that the organization is supporting him. But when he says he got a lot of questions answered, that part made me laugh out loud more than once now. I've heard it like three times, and every time I laugh out loud.
No, I did too, and I want to bring up the point there too, Amy, because the questions that he did not answer, I don't think there was a whole lot of questions answered between you and I, and the questions he didn't answer were the questions that ESPN had from the very beginning the whole time,
right.
Which was, why is your name on two wire transfers that we have seen that totaled $1 million sent to a bookmaker in Southern California? And if you're going to say, I don't know, it wasn't me, it was Ipe, then why does he have access to your account? How did he gain that access? Why does he have that access? Who else has that access? And how was he able to get away with this? We're not just talking like this happened recently. 6 months ago is what the wire statements ESPN has.
Right.
This could have been going back. We were told potentially nine $500,000 payments. And as I heard you say on the show, and I can attest to this as well, like, a $100 charge goes on my card that the bank doesn't recognize, and I get a text, was this you? I've sent large wires in my life, and there is two-factor authentication. I get a text. I have to put in the code.
Right.
I then get an email confirmation. Other people who are tied to the account gets emailed. Sometimes the bank even calls to check in. There's a lot of checks and balances throughout this whole thing. And as I think Marco on your show mentioned, like, how is there just one person, interpreter, handling all of this so that you don't get wind of all of it? I don't really buy that part either. There's not a financial advisor. There's not someone getting bank statements. There's not an accountant. I mean, Nesbolelo is your agent. He must know and have access to certain things. I can believe that Ipe would have access to these accounts, as your caller mentioned. It's not uncommon. Okay. He might even have his own card that's like, he can spend
for expenses.
In a business account or something for expenses. Exactly. That might be tied to that account. But to be able to log into a computer, make multiple $500,000 wires transfers, and write the word loan specifically in the description in the memo, a lot of things aren't adding up. We are not getting a lot of question answers. In fact, there's even more questions I have now after hearing Ohtani's statement than I had before. And I think there's just going to be questions that we do not get the answers to, unfortunately.
And as I mentioned last hour, the part of the timeline that doesn't make sense. And he says he was completely in the dark until he heard Ipe addressing the Dodgers in Korea last week. And yet ESPN made Ipe available to ESPN the day before that. And so how is it, whether he knows or not? So that's one thing. He may not know exactly what Ipe was doing. Ipe could have lied to him. But how do his advisors not immediately contact him and say, dude, why is your name on a bunch of wire transfers to a bookie? Here's what Ipe is telling us. What are you saying? And why is your name associated with gambling at all? I mean, for his advisors to continually, according to him, go through Ipe and not go directly to Shohei Ohtani, that's concerning as well. I think they all need to be fired if that's the case.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Tisha Thompson, who I believe is the ESPN investigative reporter who kind of broke this all open, I've listened to several of her interviews over the last few days, including going on the Stephen A. Smith show. She reached out. She was the first person who reached out Sunday here on the West Coast, in the United States at least, Monday morning in Seoul. And she reached out to Nez Bilello, Shohei Ohtani's agent, didn't get him on the phone, was waiting for a response saying, we have these wire transfers. I've seen them. You know, why is Shohei's name on him? Why does it say loan? Can you explain this? It wasn't until hours later that Nez hires a crisis communications spokesperson to handle this. They then also hire a legal team to handle this. Why are they doing that? That's multiple red flags right there. And it is the crisis communication spokesperson who calls Ms. Thompson back and then says, I've just been hired. I'm getting up to speed. And then, like you mentioned, they had almost 36 hours before that phone call, over 90 minutes that Ipe did with Ms. Thompson over the phone, to create or craft what the story was going to be to explain this. Like I said, over 36 hours to explain it. And the spokesperson even gives a quote from Ohtani, which was, yes, I sent several large payments. It's the maximum amount I was able to send, and I did it on his behalf. It boggles my mind if none of that was true.
And it never got to
Ohtani.
But you're going to
quote Ohtani and say, yes, and Nez isn't speaking to him directly. Look, you travel a lot, Amy. I know you've been to Cuba and other places. I travel a lot. It doesn't take me too long to pick up the language, to at least be able to have a conversation, understand certain things. Like you said, there's Google Translate. There's plenty of ways. Ohtani has now been here for 7 years. I've seen him have conversations with teammates in English. He's not fluent 100% yet, but he definitely knows and understands it. And if Nez was going to call him and try to understand what might have happened here, I don't think the whole thing can be lost in translation. He's only speaking with Ipe the whole time, and Ipe's crafting this story. And there's another layer to it that is important here, which is, if Ipe was the one doing all of this the entire time, and again, it's just speculation that, you know, he wasn't, but if he was, why, if we're to believe Shohei's version of events, why is his decision, if he's caught in the lie, if he's going to admit to the gambling, if he's going to admit to the addiction, if he's going to admit to the debt, why would the story that he loaned him the money be the story he comes up with and decides to tell? You could argue if he really was embezzling the funds and stealing them, then it's a larger crime and maybe he didn't want to admit to it, but he's going to tell ESPN that. So he knows if that's not the truth, Shohei and everyone will find out immediately.
Right.
So that doesn't really make sense to me why you would come up with that, because it's just going to be a lie that's told for a few hours until everyone knows it's a lie, if Shohei knows it's not true. And the other thing is, why would you wire it directly to the bookie? You could wire it to yourself and call it a loan if you're the one doing the account, and then send it so there's no record of it. And if you were trying to take all culpability away from Shohei and just said, I'm the one who did this, then from the get-go, you would have said, I did it all. I snuck into the account and did all that. So it even makes more sense that for 90 minutes and an entire day, after having a whole team hired to handle this, that's the one story they come up with, and then it changes 24 hours later. And the ironic part here, and why the story changes 24 hours, is suddenly they may have not been aware that it was breaking a baseball rule. And there's precedent to this, Amy. Jared Cozart of the Marlins in 2015, he was investigated by Major League Baseball. He admitted to sports gambling. They were able to investigate and find out he did not bet on baseball. He received a $450,000 fine, and it was all put to bed. But in the CBA agreement, even by saying it was Ohtani loaning money to his friend and sending it on his behalf, it breaks that rule of the CBA.
Right.
And Ohtani could have faced discipline by Major League Baseball via a fine or a suspension. But moreover, it tarnishes the billion-dollar brand that is Shohei Ohtani, that goes beyond the baseball field, that is with New Balance and sponsors and endorsements and everybody. It could potentially tarnish that brand. And I think protecting that brand is the more important thing in this entire story.
To everyone involved, actually. Not just to Shohei Ohtani, but to the Dodgers and to baseball, to the TV properties and partners, to corporate partners. You're right. Protecting Shohei Ohtani at all costs and trying to figure out the best way to insulate him. But the whole, I don't know, just deny doesn't seem that plausible. It might if we hadn't heard the earlier version of the story. But since we heard the earlier version, now it's just so confusing. Michael Duarte with us from LA. So before I let you go, because I know it's been a long day for you, from what you know of the Dodgers, how do they handle it moving forward?
Well, for the Dodgers, they kind of have this, all right, he said his statement, this is what happened, let's move on now. That is exactly what they've been trying to do. It's the narrative they've been trying to push. The Dodgers send out media clips every single day, and since this story broke, they have not sent a single one about Shohei Ohtani or this scandal. They are avoiding it, and now they feel like he's made his statement. We can all put this to rest. And I don't really know. You know, we were asking Nez Bilelo during the introductory press conference for Shohei Ohtani. You know, he was pitching with the Angels when he was a pitcher as a pitcher for the Angels every 5 days on his starts. Well, knowing he wasn't going to start this year, are you going to still only make him available to the media every 5 days? Now there's this scandal. He's not going to want to talk. We want to know, as the media who covers this team, when are we going to be able to speak to Shohei Ohtani and ask him questions ourselves that might just be on baseball? And I'm sure they were protecting him at his locker in Korea. They were protecting him at his locker yesterday. And again today, when the locker room was open, we were able to find out where his new locker is yesterday. I might add, ironically, he took over Julio Urias' old locker in the Dodgers clubhouse, and he's next to his countryman, Yamamoto. So what we want to know from that perspective is when we're going to be able to speak to him and ask him questions ourselves, and when he becomes available again next. And the last thing I'll say, because I know you got to go, is, and when we've talked about this, you and I, in conversation off air, if you know the bookmaking world, the line of credit you get is similar to what a credit card company might give you as far as a line of credit. So how an interpreter would have a minimum $4.5 million line of credit
minimum
is another head-scratching part of this story that doesn't seem to make sense or add up, because that would make Matthew Boyer the worst bookie in the history of all sports bookies. So,
well, he obviously wasn't that smart, since he got caught up in a federal investigation and is now had his place seized. And to my understanding, is behind bars, correct, or is in custody?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No charges yet. No arrests or anything yet. But he has, you know, lawyered up, and his lawyers have come out and said, like, he didn't know Shohei Ohtani. He never met him. He never got bets directly from him. But they also admitted he did go around telling other people and his clients that Shohei was his client. So that's another part of this story.
I'm thinking, if I'm Ipe Mitsuhara and I have the resources, I get the heck back to Japan. Or somewhere else. I go somewhere else before I do get charged. And I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of disappears off the radar for a while.
Yeah, I think once the dust settles, he will probably head back to Japan, where his wife is from, where, you know, originally started his career with the Nippon Ham Fighters, and probably with, I don't know, something that will take care of him for the rest of his life. But I don't want to speculate on that, of course, Amy. But another thing I want to say, last thing I'll say, you and I are in the sports business. We talk sports with everybody. And honestly, this is the first time you, me, and James have spoken since we met at the Super Bowl, which was amazing. And this is the first time I've come on the show since then. So,
right,
you know, we're in these circles all the time. I don't know about you, but everyone talks about the bets they've made. And I got something on this game, and I took this team with these points, or it's just kind of a part of the industry now, talking about the spreads and the lines. Even Scott Van Pelt has his worst beats, you know, part of his show. So all of this just is one of those things where if Ipe truly, I don't know, I guess if Shohei truly didn't know that he was his best friend who he was spending all his time with wasn't gambling, when it's something that everybody talks about and it's kind of normal, it just seems very strange to me because they know and talk about everything else. And Ipe also admitted, you know, at the end of the 2022 year during the World Cup in Qatar, that him and Shohei were watching all the games. They were rooting for Team Japan. Team Japan upset Spain. They upset Germany. They won their group. They lost to Croatia in penalty kicks. Shohei texted him saying, how can a game of this magnitude be decided by penalty kicks? That's like deciding the World Series with a home run derby. So there was a lot of, you know, we know things they did and talked about. They shared interests in other sports, especially international soccer. It just seems really strange that Shohei had no clue his best friend and who he did everything with was betting on sports.
It's wacky. It's strange. It's odd. And at this point, it's implausible, the story we've been told. But I guess, as you point out, we may never know. And so we're going to have to be okay with that, at least for now. But I'm counting on a tell-all book 20, 25 years down the road. Someone is going to write a book and then we'll have at least a single account. Kind of like the Phil Mickelson books about his gambling that have now come out years later, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
It's too hot and it's too much for humans to keep to themselves. Somebody knows the truth. A few people know the truth. And at some point, somebody will come out with it. All right. You can find Michael Duarte on Twitter because he's covering this as best we can now. He's the guy you want to follow at Michael J. Duarte, NBC LA. And I'm sure at some point we'll talk about Lakers or football or maybe actual baseball. But we appreciate a couple of minutes today after that experience with the press conference.
Absolutely. I appreciate it too. It was definitely an interesting day of sorts. And I'm listening to your show talk about it as well. So I'll keep doing the best I can on the coverage of this scandal and keep listening to you as you guys discuss it. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you soon. Yeah, it's crazy because as Mike outlines so well, it's not like we got more information. In fact, it may be more confusing now than it's ever been. And yet this is the story and Shohei's camp is sticking to it. I want to believe him and take what he said at face value, but not a whole lot has been cleared up. So how believable is his account, do you think? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, brand new photos as well as a reel, Jay So Good at the Reels. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. By the way, did you see what's happening in Baltimore? Oh my gosh. It's not sports, but I'll tell you about it coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you guys have access to the internet or your phones have access to YouTube or social media, there is video out there. This is, whoa, it's astonishing, of a cargo ship running into the Key Bridge in the Baltimore area, and within seconds, the bridge collapses. Cars go into the water, and the bridge is broken into a bunch of humongous pieces that have now also fallen into the bay. And it was live streamed on YouTube, which is crazy. But somebody had a video on it, and you can clearly see the large container ship colliding with Key Bridge. And there's even a zoomed in version right after the container ship runs into the support for this bridge. I mean, it's dark. This is 1:30 in the morning, so a couple of hours ago. And the lights go out on the bridge, and the whole thing completely collapses into the water. This is the Key Bridge. And I don't know what type of impact we're talking about, other than I know cars went into the water. There are certain reports out there that there are mass casualties, but none of that can I substantiate. Do I have any idea? I'll see if I can find some official reports coming out of Maryland law enforcement. But yeah, it's an enormous cargo ship, and it took out one of the supports of this Key Bridge in Baltimore, and the whole thing within seconds is in the water. It's scary to watch. So like I said, you can see the video. It looks like something out of an action movie, something that you might see that was completely fabricated, computer graphics or AI, and yet it just happened in Baltimore. So thinking of those people there, and of course law enforcement, and I'm sure Coast Guard and members of various agencies have been called in to try and help and figure out a rescue operation, and if they can get these cars out of the water. It's really scary to watch. And it, as it collapses, it takes out the front of the ship too. So I don't know if that ship is still afloat. It got completely dark, so it's really impossible to see much after that. But yeah, it is out there on YouTube, which is also kind of mind-blowing considering it's 2024, though. Everything is on video. Everything is on camera or caught in a photo. After our conversation with Michael Duarte about Shohei Ohtani and his press conference, I would appreciate your reaction. So how believable is it? Some of you are saying that you actually do believe him, and that at this point, even with the various questions that we have,
we need to be reminded that rich people do things differently. Marco, I'm getting that a lot. Rich people do things differently. I mean, I would have no knowledge of that because I've never been in that situation before, but...
Neither have I, but like, what does that mean? I know they do things differently. I understand. They have more people to help them out. So you're telling me he has no one to help him? So no financial advisors when you got money?
Fire them all.
So you have money and no one knows where the hell it is? That doesn't... No, no. The more money you have, the more you have more people looking at it. Now, you've got more chance of people ripping you off. That I agree.
Mm.
But you have more eyeballs on everything. It's not just you that's in charge of everything. You pay people to be in charge of your money. I'm sorry. I can't believe that his entire camp came down to one man who had control of everything and knew everything from every angle, and everybody else was blindsided, but he was the only one that was the mastermind of it all. It strikes me as difficult to believe.
Yeah, it defies logic. It definitely does, especially when the timeline doesn't match up at all from when he found out to when his camp found out, and there's, what, a 36-hour lag time, according to Michael? That's too long. I don't care if you are in Korea. The phones still work there. And so it doesn't make any sense, that part. But something else that Michael said, and I'm wondering how you feel about this, we may never know. Until someone writes a tell-all book, that's my part of it. Someone writes a tell-all book in 25 years, we may never actually know what happened.
100%. And the only way that I truly feel like we will know is if there's some sort of reporter that's able to get to the bottom of all this and dig up a whole bunch of stuff, and maybe they could figure it out. Because the idea of, I don't want to be cynical, but Major League Baseball, their investigation. Now, I'm not going to sit here and do the, well, they don't want to know. Look, yeah, they're not going to try their damnedest to find out if their golden goose is going to be in trouble. So
true,
I get that.
That's true.
But more importantly, it's like four paragraphs down. When you read the story, Shohei Ohtani doesn't have to actually cooperate with Major League Baseball in the investigation. Now, he might, because if he says he's interested, he may want to. But he doesn't have to through the union.
Hmm.
His interpreter doesn't have to cooperate because he's no longer employed by Major League Baseball. So your investigation... Apparently, there's only two human beings that know what's going on, and you may not have access to either one of them. So your investigation is what? Anybody else know what's going on? No?
Anybody want to volunteer?
No? Okay.
Out of the goodness of your heart?
Well, we gave it a shot. Good night, everybody.
Yay! Like, what?
I mean, so the idea that, like, I know they have to say it. I know they may even mean it, maybe. But Major League Baseball is not going to find what's going on.
And you weren't here last night, but we were saying... that if there was a smoking gun, it would have been uncovered by now. This happened last fall, right? And the tip went through the LA Times and then eventually got to ESPN. They've been doing extensive research. If there was a smoking gun to be found, unless this bookie starts singing like a canary to try to avoid jail time, and at this point he's not been charged with anything, unless someone starts telling all, it's unlikely that they're going to find a smoking gun anyway.
Well, I mean, probably... But you never know. When you dig, you never know what you find and uncover. And look, as much as people cover their tracks, they make mistakes. And from what
true,
it sounds like,
true.
Whoever was involved in all this thing wasn't exactly the brightest bulb to begin with. So there's a lot of things that could possibly turn up if you uncover enough and if you dig far enough. I just don't know if we're going to get all those answers, because I don't know if we have enough interested parties to be able to do that. And I don't know if they've done a good enough job to cover all this up, because I do feel like everybody does want this to just go away. Everybody. I don't think there's anything that who doesn't want this to go away. Major League Baseball wants it to go away. Ohtani wants it to go away. His interpreter wants it to go away. The Dodgers want it to go. Everybody wants it to go away. Everybody. So it's hard when everyone has the same goal to think that there's going to be something else unless a third party tries to figure it out. Now, I'm sure there'll be plenty of journalists that do that, that give it a shot. I just don't know if we have all those answers.
But if they're actually investigating theft, then at some point you would think charges would be filed. $4.5 million, if it's, it may be really difficult to prove, but that may allow it
That's
to not
That's assuming that Ohtani is telling the truth, though.
I know.
Because if he isn't, then all of a sudden, you know what? You don't worry about that. No, I just want this done. I'm not worried about the money. The money doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I just want this matter over with. Mm. You hear that. And again, I can't argue with that. Maybe that's the case. $4.5 million to him and to us are two different things. So maybe it could just be to go away.
I mean, $4.5 million is $4.5 million.
I'm aware, which is why I find it hard to believe. Like, I didn't know. Like, nobody knew. I get you didn't know. Your financial advisor didn't know. That wasn't I mean, how much money is that in his pocket?
We just keep going around and around, right?
How much money is that in his pocket? What percentage was he getting of that $4.5 million? I'm pretty sure he wanted to know where it was.
In Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which crosses the Patapsco River, I'm not sure if that's how you say it, Patapsco, river has reportedly collapsed. And this happened just an hour ago. There's video out there. A cargo ship runs right into the bridge and the whole thing within seconds into the river. It's pretty devastating, but also stunning to watch. We'll see if we can find out some more information, thinking of you, those of you who are listening on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
To shoot, 35 to go. Edwards going to set a high screen as Beckers goes to the top of the key. Left wing, Arnold for three. You bet!
What a big shot by the freshman. The crowd is crazy.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the UConn Huskies radio network, it was a tight game between the women's basketball team, UConn, that is the gold standard in the sport going back now decades. We're talking multiple generations, and still UConn is a force to be reckoned with. It wasn't Paige Beckers who hit that late three. Instead, it was KK Arnold. Pretty incredible. I was watching it live against Syracuse, so a familiar opponent. And as she hit that three, and as UConn is able to hold off Syracuse inside Gamble Pavilion, the place was going pretty crazy. The Huskies, young players like freshmen, like Arnold, have been pressed into duty because they've had so many injuries on their roster. And yet with this win, a 30th consecutive appearance in the Sweet 16. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Paige Beckers with yet another incredible performance. Remember last year she missed the entire regular season as well as the tournament because of a torn ACL that she had to rehab from. 32 points for her, and it went along with the 10 rebounds and the, I think it was 5 assists. She filled up a box score like we see Caitlin Clark do these days, right? So 40 minutes, she goes 14 of 25 from the floor with the 32 points, the 10 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals, and a block shot. And Gino Auriemma, he actually thinks more people should be paying attention to Paige.
We have the best player in America. And, you know, just saying that because the numbers in this world of analytics, the numbers say that she is. And the whole stat sheet says that she is. And everybody that watched knows it. And we're fortunate.
He's always understated, isn't he? 30 straight Final Fours. 30 straight Sweet 16s. There's a bunch of Final Fours in there as well, and some championships. And he has not only been at the helm for all of them, but his assistant coach, Chris Daly, has been alongside for all of them as well. She could have gone elsewhere. She could have had her pick of any head coaching job in America outside of UConn to this point. And that's anyone who knows the program, and I'm familiar with it because of my time working for the University of Hartford, and I've called games for UConn before. A lot of players that come out of UConn would tell you that she's the glue that holds everything together. And so Gina Auriemma inspires loyalty. And of course, it's good to be king. It's good to be a winner.
30 in a row. That's a lot, man. That's almost half my life, you know. And you know that it gets harder and harder the more times you do it. And especially under the circumstances with this team this year, and, you know, we were talking to the players that aren't playing probably could beat the team that is playing, you know. So to do it under these circumstances and to get to the same place where we've been, you know, the other 29 times is quite remarkable. I'm super proud of this team.
Congratulations to the UConn Huskies and also the Iowa Hawkeyes, who get a real test from West Virginia in Iowa City, but they survived to the Sweet 16. We'll talk more about that game and Caitlin Clark's performance, and you can hear from her, as well as USC. And Juju Watkins, the freshman, adding yet another impressive chapter to her very young resume. Sweet 16 and the women, they're done as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.